Welcome to the Voice of Middle-earth, an occasional radio program related to the literary works of J.R.R. Tolkien, the lore and magic he created, and music inspired by, or emotionally related to, Tolkien's material. Thank you for taking this journey. The Voice of Middle-earth is music for your journey there and back again. I'm Green Man Took, the Middle-earth persona of DJ Frederick, and I believe that mystery and magic thrive within us every day in our confused, modern world of the Fourth Age. Going to get started. I'm thinking about the mountain pass in the Misty Mountains of Cahadras, and this is a song that is aptly titled High in the Mountain Pass.
Thread of skies. Just before he left, a girl held him tightly in the secret fear that he would not return. Say the blades of grass in his heart are gratitude enough for all the summer sun. Are like skeletons, a gathering of ghosts that shimmer on the sea.
I met a traveler upon pipe smoke. He cold inhaled to me. Just then a dust wolf howled and I feared brigands on the road, and he looked fair enough to me. So I drew my pony up and I asked the rider his name. And this is what he said to me. I'm just a minstrel with a wandering horse. Not all who wander are always lost. I follow those stars there you see on high. That's the swordsman of the sky. You see, a war is coming on these gentle lands. Long is the reach of dark hands. I've come to warn your folk. These roads will soon be weary beneath marching boots of evil enemies. The stranger's war speech kindled dread in my soul, like the burning embers in his pipe bowl. Something in his voice, like a call to fate, I asked him if it was too late. To warn of what will be, can our folk remain free? This is what he said to me. I'm just a minstrel with a wandering horse. Not all who wander are always lost. I can sing to you a great prophecy from beyond the western seas. But stand fast, defend the people free. The last battle is yet to be. I sing of hope in the shining belt on high. Seek the swordsman of the sky.
Music by Sand Snowman, Stained Glass Morning. Before that, you heard the Lonely Mountain Band with the Swordsman of the Sky. And we started the set off with Addison Crowfoot, High in the Mountain Pass. This is Green Man Took, and you're tuned to the voice of Middle Earth. The Lord of the Rings. It seems a simple story. At first glance, it appears to be nothing more than a very long fairy tale about good and evil. Peopled with elves, dwarves, wizards, monsters, and more, J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings was not considered a great work of literature when it first appeared in 1954. Now, it is hailed as the book of the 20th century. What is it about the book that caused it to be such a sensation? Why does it create such a warm and resonant feeling in the hearts of readers? I think that J.R.R. Tolkien was aware of the hidden esoteric history of humanity and the powerful influence of the great work of alchemy on European culture. I believe that Tolkien knew some of the deepest secrets of alchemy and embedded the mysterious knowledge into the heart of his work, which is the real reason why The Lord of the Rings has such a universal appeal. For it is our true history and secret heritage that is being revealed to us. Tolkien has mined a deep vein of mythic resonance that rings true to all who delve deeply into this extraordinary work of art.
Inside all my eyes, love under eclipse. time, drawing reference from each elementary sign. The beauty of that
That was the music of Blue Horses. But of course, we all come from the goddess. Before that, the band Lothlorien and Sagittarian Moon on the Voice of Middle-earth. In the fantastic land known as Middle-earth, a young hobbit named Frodo becomes entangled in an all-consuming spiritual and political war that ultimately changes the entire face of the world. As documented in The Hobbit, by way of his uncle Bilbo's adventures, Frodo has acquired a mysterious ring. Through the efforts of his friend Gandalf the Wizard, Frodo comes to understand that this ring, forged in an earlier age by the evil Sauron in the subterranean fires of Mount Doom, not only grants its bearer the power of invisibility and possibly immortality, but also holds the key to the dominion of Middle-earth. With all of the odds against him, Frodo, the modest, sincere, and good-natured hobbit of the Shire, embarks on a quest to destroy this ring, the Ring of Power. Although he has little to gain and much to lose by destroying the ring, Frodo nevertheless is ultimately successful in his quest. Despite being hunted by thousands of orcs, lost in unknown wilderness, with only the assistance of his friend and gardener Sam, and the shifty, covetous creature named Gollum, Frodo selflessly moves toward the ultimate conclusion of the tale, in which the great Ring of Power and domination is destroyed in the blazing underground inferno of Mount Doom. This destruction of the Ring of Power appears to have unintended consequences that bring forth what Tolkien describes as the end of the Third Age of Middle-earth. At the conclusion of this compelling story of good and evil, heroes and villains, magic and mystery, all of the fantastic inhabitants of Middle-earth, wizard, elves, dwarves, and ents, disappear from the landscape of Middle-earth, leaving the next age, the Fourth Age, to be ruled by men. Aragorn, the most noble of the human race, is crowned King of Middle-earth, and men become the ultimate victors of this great war against Sauron and his agent Saruman, and that ends the Third Age of Middle-earth.
Now you're not here. Phantom's golden gown we used to kick our way. You always love this time of year. Those autumn leaves lie undisturbed now, 'cause you're not here. Like the sun through the trees, you came to love me. Like a leaf on a breeze, you blew away.
That was John and Jody with Time. And before that, we heard Vagrus and Osborne with Forever Autumn on The Voice of Middle Earth. When The Lord of the Rings was published in 1954, no one, including J.R.R. Tolkien himself, ever dreamed that his trilogy would go on to sell millions and millions of copies, be translated into nearly every language on Earth, and turned into one of the biggest motion picture projects ever undertaken. What is it about this simple story that provokes such an enormous reaction? How is it possible that a simple fairy tale of a selfless hobbit saving the world from ultimate evil could be heralded as the greatest work of literature in the 20th century? Why do the books and subsequent films resonate so vividly in the hearts, minds, and souls of nearly all of us? And who is J.R.R. Tolkien? Did he intentionally write the story knowing the powerful impact that it would have on the reader? Through a unique constellation of innate gifts, experiences, and other factors, which led to a deep philosophical understanding of the forces that shape our reality, J.R.R. Tolkien was to become a witness to, and documenter of, the deeply profound spiritual history of humanity, especially that of English, Celtic, and Northern peoples of Europe. He describes these gifts as a sensibility to linguistic patterns, which have an emotional effect on him in the same manner as color or music, the passionate love of growing things, and a deep response to legends that have what he called the Northwestern temper and temperature. Having been drawn to and immersing himself in the beauty and power of the great epics of Greece, Scandinavia, Finland, Germany, and more, he wanted to restore to the English an epic tradition that presented them with a mythology of their own. In a letter to his friend Milton Waldman, dated 1951, Tolkien states, "I was from early days grieved by the poverty of my own beloved country. It had no stories of its own, bound up with its tongue and soil, not of the quality that I sought and found as an ingredient in legends of other lands. Once upon a time, I had a mind to make a body of more or less connected legend, ranging from the large and cosmology to the level of romantic fairy story, the larger founded on the lesser in contact with the earth, the lesser drawing splendor from the vast backcloths which I could dedicate simply to England, my country."
cycle you've spun is falling undone. Tripping round the forest green, floating down a swirling stream, playing in your mythical
brave your wind and other things. The girl that weeps, the bird that sings, the sky and the sea. All these things and many more go on and on forevermore. The things that are free. A girl just like you. To be free she flew. Didn't know just what to do. Bit off more than she could chew. Only thought the two ones made two. Sitting on a garden gate, just sitting thinking, shall I wait? The rain must come soon. Waiting for the wind to blow, it's getting late, shall I go? The birds sing their tune. A boy just like me knows that he's free. Knows the day will surely come when he's gonna find someone. Then's the time when two ones make one. Search your mind, you'll find another place. Look behind.
This is Green Man Took, thanking you for listening to The Voice of Middle Earth. We just heard a group called Playground with The Rain, Wind, and Other Things. Before that, Hobby Horse, Good Morning Moon. And we started that set off with Brett and Lori and Lady of Nature. Like to send bright blessings to Grey Wolf Moonsong of A Pagan Heart in Maine for creating a wonderful podcast and listening immersion experience. Thank you, Grey Wolf. I'd like to thank listeners. Please stay tuned for future editions of The Voice of Middle Earth as we explore the literary world of J.R.R. Tolkien. Thank you.
Lantar lassi surine, in jar un notti nar de ramar al ron, in jar velinti jul marvani mior mar de lessi miru voriva, andun ne pella vardo telma nulluini jassen tintelar jeleni, o mario aeritari lirine. Si mani jul da ninden quantuva, anzi den talle varda oio lossi ove fagna maria delentari ortene, Arigli ti arundullave l'umbole a sindano riello caita morni e falma linna rinde metta hissie un tuppa calachiglio miri oiale. Si vannuna, romello vannu a valimar. Na marie, na hiru valie valimar, na elie hiruva, na marie.